This is Tuesday, December 15th, 1998. The interview today is with Richard W. Croop, C-R-O-O-P, at Mr. Croop's home at 4670 Hadaway Road in Kennesaw, Georgia. The interview has been conducted by Thomas A. Scott. Mr. Croop, why don't we begin by tell me, first of all, what year you were born and where you were born.
I was born in Belle, Alabama, New York,
1912.
Alabama, New York, of all places.
Well, you know, I saw an Alabama, New York on the map, and I couldn't believe it. It's just a little bit north of Buffalo, I guess, isn't
it? Yes, sir.
Hard to believe there's anything north of Buffalo, but particularly with a name like Alabama.
That's cute. I get a kick out of that.
Does anybody have any idea how it got named Alabama?
No, I don't.
Alabama, New York. Well, I guess it was just meant to be that you should come to the South.
It sure is. I love it.
Like that.
I love it down here.
Well, you were born in 1912, let's see, by the time that Bell Aircraft was created in 1935 up in Buffalo, and did you went to work first for Bell Aircraft in Buffalo?
In Buffalo.
Before you remember which year that was?
Well, 1940, I mean, around 1940,
39 or 40.
39 or 40. On Elmwood Avenue.
The Elmwood Avenue plant.
Elmwood Avenue plant.
Well, of course, that was the only plant there was then, yeah, wasn't it?
A little tiny place. They used to build radiators there.
Build radiators?
Yeah.
Before
heating radiators.
Before Bell took over?
Before Bell.
Uh-huh. Well, Bell was a very small company then, wasn't it?
Very tiny. They didn't have much money and they had a very hard time getting started.
Now, there's a story about how you went to work at Bell, isn't it? Didn't you meet Larry Bell before you went to work there?
He loved racing. Larry Bell was a wonderful man. He was mechanically inclined, and we were racing at the Civic Stadium there at Buffalo. And through racing, we got to know Larry Bell.
Uh-huh.
A wonderful man.
So what were you racing?
Sprint cars.
The midget?
Midget sprint cars, yes, sir.
Sprint cars. And were these raced inside? Is that when
they
you
raced
that?
In the Coliseum, which used to be the waterworks.
I see.
Held 40,000 people.
40,000. And
40,000.
How big was the track that you
quarter
raced?
Of a mile.
Quarter of a mile. So they had to be midget cars, I guess.
That's right,
on a
yes,
track
sir.
Like that. That's a real, real small track for racing, isn't it?
Used Model A, Stars.
Uh-huh.
Willie's Night.
Uh-huh.
Engines you never hear of anymore.
Right. How did you get involved with midget car racing?
I went to Miami in 38, and they were racing down there, and I got involved in it, and I had a chance to drive one, and I fell in love with it.
Now, where was this that you went?
Miami, Florida.
Miami, oh, okay. And So you learned to race down there.
I learned to race down there.
Uh-huh.
We went from there to Paterson, New Jersey. We raced there every week, once a week. We raced five nights a week.
Mm-hmm.
But we moved them very, very rapidly. We raced Syracuse, Akron, Paterson, Freeport, Long Island,
mm-hmm.
Bedford, Massachusetts. It was a wonderful life.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you have to know about auto mechanics as well as racing, or did you have a crew that did that?
No, we did it all. We built our own cars ourselves out of rear fenders. We'd make a tail out of welding two rear fenders together.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was homemade.
Uh-huh.
Made our own wheel. Bought the rim for 90 cents and weld them into Model T brake rims.
Uh-huh. So that's why Larry Bell was so interested then, is that mechanical ingenuity.
That's right, sir. He loved it. He'd come down in the pits once in a while, and you think he worked. You think he's one of the crew. The way he got his hands dirty and
mm-hmm.
stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
We got to know him very well.
Uh-huh.
He's a wonderful man.
Well, tell me a little bit about him. What was he like?
Regular common person. You wouldn't think. We at the time of racing, we didn't even know there's such a thing as Bell Aircraft.
Uh-huh.
There's something new because it used to be a radiator place. They built heating radiators. And
uh-huh.
When the war came along,
mm-hmm.
and are you ready, Cronin?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When the war came along, he sent word to us that if any of us mechanics or race car drivers wanted a job to come out, he'd be glad to interview us and
uh-huh.
give us a job.
Right.
And he started us all at a lot more money. 15 cents was a lot more money back then. I think we started about 60 cents an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody worked for 30, mm-hmm. 35 cents an hour.
Wow. Of course, this is right at the tail end of the Great Depression.
It certainly was. It certainly was. I've seen people dying in the streets in Buffalo.
Really? Mm-hmm. Was it particularly rough in Buffalo during
terrible.
The Depression?
Terrible. It was terrible. They had gangsters. Everything was gangsters. They had the place they called the Big House, where the murder incorporated started.
Mm-hmm.
We lived next door to it. We didn't realize at the time what a racketeer was, what a gangster was at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I've read a lot of it since and seen it on TV.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But everything was murder down there and robbery. Nobody had any money. We were all starving to death.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If we could make $10-$15 a week, you couldn't buy a job.
Mm-hmm.
We could make $10, and we were happy when we found out about Bell Aircraft.
Mm-hmm.
We went out there not knowing even Bell airplanes. That's how much we knew about Bell. It was a little tiny outfit at the time.
Well,
I think they only had about 300 or 400 people. I could be wrong on that. Employed at the time.
Well, it certainly was a small workforce then, wasn't it?
It sure was. We did everything from backing boxes and parts and engines and stuff like that to putting an airplane together.
What was your title when you were at Bell?
I was what they call a lead man.
A
lead man?
Lead man?
I had several people under me, assisted me. And we assembled everything. We built a clean airplane right on the line. We had a line similar to Ford Motor Company. And we've interviewed a lot of people. Miss Roosevelt came through. A lot of big shots came through. All the big shots after he got to be well known.
Right. Now, what did you say about the Ford Motor Company?
They had a line similar to the Ford Motor Company.
Oh, an assembly line.
Yes, an assembly line.
I see. Okay.
They moved the planes down a station. They had stations.
Uh-huh.
Station 1, Station 14, I think, was the last one. That was going out the door.
But you were involved in just about every step of the process?
Well, from the day they unloaded an engine, we used to take them out of the barrels and crates.
Where did you get your engines from?
Allison.
Allison?
Allison Engineering. They built engines.
Uh-huh.
They shipped them in there, pickled, what we call pickled. They were all full of oil and stuff.
Yeah.
And when we first started, I didn't stay there long, but when we first started, we had them pickle them. Get the oil out and degrease them and all that sort of thing and put them on the line.
Mm-hmm. Is this E-L-L-I-S-O-N, Allison?
Yes, sir. I think it's...
I don't believe I've ever heard of them.
Could be Allison, could be A-L-L.
Oh, okay.
They're big dealers today. They still have a big outfit, Allison Engineering.
So they provided the engine and then you built everything else pretty much from scratch?
We put all the components on the engines from scratch and then...
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we put wings on. We completely built the airplane to begin with. Mm-hmm. It was all in piece. There weren't too many of us.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me say, I guess the plane that really got Bell on the road was the Era Cobra, right?
P-29, 39, and 63. Yeah, that was a wonderful airplane.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Were you, is that what you were
That's
actually
That's what
building?
I was working on, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And when they built a new plant out to Niagara Falls, I went out as a crew chief because I had... A lot of experience. I put a lot of boys in airplanes. I did one time. I knew Chet Yeager's and all of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's been so long, I forgot about them. But
yeah. Now, was Yeager there before the war? Or I know he
was a test pilot.
I knew he was really involved in, I guess, those high-speed planes from the late 40s and early 50s.
He was.
Was he there earlier than that?
I think they borrowed him from Ford Motor Company. He was a test pilot for some a lot bigger outfit than Bell Aircraft was.
Right. I see. So you actually knew him before you came down here, then?
Oh, I certainly did, yes.
Mm-hmm.
He shook my hand. I was a proud man.
I guess so.
He's quite a racer in his time. He was a famous aviator.
So you worked first at the Elmwood plant and then worked for a while at Niagara Falls, at the plant there, which had just been built right about the time of World War II.
We seen it built. We used to go out there when they were starting to build it. Niagara Falls, only 22 miles from Buffalo.
Well, I should have brought some pictures along with me that I took while I was up there. I took one picture of the end of the assembly line.
I tried to see it, but I've lost all connections.
Really?
Every time I go to, I don't go very often, but when I do go to Buffalo, I always drive by it and bring back memories. They had a modification center right across the airport on the other side. My wife worked there.
Well, of course, that plant would be small compared to the one that was down here, but it's still a huge plant.
It was a huge plant to us after Elmwood. Elmwood was a little Mickey Mouse hole in the wall. And I admire Larry Bell for what he done because he started with nothing, you might say. He was a wonderful man. But what I liked about Larry Bell, he was very personal. He always had time to say hello to you. Even after it got to be a big shot. We stayed at the Biltmore when we first came down here after we left Wichita, and he'd always call up and have a few of us from Buffalo. down and rehash things, talk old times over. Uh-huh. Enjoyed it very much.
Uh-huh. You stayed at the Atlanta Biltmore when you
yes,
came
sir.
Down?
Yes, sir. That's where we stayed.
Uh-huh. Very good. Well, what year did you come to Marietta? Do you remember?
I believe it was in, the plant wasn't even built. They were putting the walls up. They had poured the floor.
Uh-huh.
But they were putting walls up, and they sent us to Wichita, Kansas, to go to school for 6 or 8 months. I've forgotten how long it was.
Uh-huh.
And Boeing,
right.
Went to Boeing plant, and they taught us. But we should know the fundamentals of the 29.
Right, because the B-29 was a Boeing design.
It was very Boeing.
So you went out to Wichita. From Buffalo, you went to Wichita.
Well, we came down here first.
Oh, I see.
But the plant wasn't anywhere near ready. They hadn't put the roof down or the walls up or anything. It was just in the skeleton.
So they sent you to Wichita for further training.
Yes, we went to Wichita for about 9 or 10 months.
Oh, how big was the plant in Wichita? I've never seen that.
Oh, it was a... big, it was kind of a rambly, shambly place, so it wasn't anything like Lockheed is, like Bell Aircraft had it.
Uh-huh.
Bell Aircraft was years ahead. The building we had was fabulous.
Uh-huh.
Wichita was several little buildings, but not little buildings, but several buildings grouped together.
Uh-huh, I see. And it's the Boeing people that were, you know, the B-29 was still in the design stage itself at that time,
We didn't see one. We didn't see one. We'd seen them being made, but we didn't see the completed B-29 when we was out there.
Mm-hmm. But they were making them.
They were making them, yes.
And so you actually got to watch them make them to as part of your training to make them.
That's what they taught us.
Uh-huh.
Different sections. They had stations that they called stations.
Right.
In different sections. We were briefed on the wings, briefed on the surface controls.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't tell us much about engines because engines were scarce at that time and they didn't have time to fool with.
Right.
Didn't have the quality in Nina.
Okay, so you stayed out there, what did you say, 6 months?
Stayed around six, 8 months, a long time.
And so this is would be like 1943 maybe when you got back to Marietta?
I believe it was late 42 or 43.
Right about the time the plant was opening up?
Plant was opening, yeah. We used to... we could take our motorcycles in. A lot of us had bikes.
Mm-hmm.
We'd take our motorcycles when they're in the plant.
Yeah.
The parking lots weren't not built.
Oh,
still, it's still in the beginning when we came back from Wichita.
Right.
But
so you parked your motorcycles inside?
Right inside the building where the big shots are enough.
Uh-huh. Now you're living at the Biltmore at this time?
Yes.
So you ride your motorcycle?
After we got back, we stayed at the Biltmore for several weeks.
Uh-huh.
Then we found rooming houses because they put us on for them.
Uh-huh.
And they took care of our families back in Buffalo.
Uh-huh. So are you married at this time?
I was married and had 3 children.
I see. And they're still in Buffalo?
They were still in Buffalo,
okay.
Yes.
So your rooming house was in Atlanta or in Marietta?
Marietta.
In Marietta. You remember where it was?
On Dixie Street.
East Dixie or West Dixie?
East Dixie.
East Dixie.
I think it was 250 East Dixie.
Yeah, okay.
I got a room for $8 a week. I can't believe it.
$8?
With breakfast.
With breakfast. Oh, well. I don't live very far from East Dixie. I live on Atlanta Street.
You do?
Yeah, just kind of ran right around the corner from where.
I go by that house quite often because that's the first place I stayed when I got to Marietta.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Huh. Which side of the street is it on?
It's the left-hand side going towards Fairground. It's
towards
the last
Fairground
house.
It's on the left-hand side.
That's the last house.
The last house?
Right
okay,
on the corner.
So right across from Larry Bell Park.
That's right. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's
exactly
big house.
What you're
it's
talking
a big
about.
House.
Yeah, it was a fraternity house for a while,
that's
and
right,
it's gone
yes.
through several different uses. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. But that would be a nice house to study in, I think.
Yeah, very nice at the time, but everything wasn't as modern as it is today. It was a little rougher.
Yeah.
And but that was considered a very nice place at the time.
When you say it's not as modern as today, of course you didn't have air conditioning.
No, we didn't know what air conditioning was back then.
Did you have indoor plumbing?
Yes, we had indoor plumbing. Yes. Yeah.
And so you'd have electricity and indoor plumbing.
That's
but,
right.
You didn't cook your own meals. You just had a room in the house.
Had a room in the house.
And who owned the house, Steve?
A lady by the name of Evelyn, I've forgotten her last name. She's still alive, I believe.
Uh-huh. And so she cooked breakfast.
She cooked the breakfast. There's several rooms. She rented all the rooms. There's several rooms in the houses.
Uh-huh.
They're all rented.
Uh-huh. And so you're on your own for the other meals.
That's right.
Did you eat your lunch at the plant?
We did. They had a little wagon they used to bring in the chute.
Uh-huh.
They'd haul them in with horse and wagon, with a horse.
Yeah.
At first. And then we got some tractor. They're little skids, they call them.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And that was our meal, lunch there.
So this is before they have actually opened up the cafeterias
yes,
in the plant?
They didn't have any cafeterias at that time.
Okay, and so now who is it that's bringing in the food? Is this...
I never knew, sir.
I mean, but they let some...
It was made, some restaurant was making...
Some restaurant
made... Some catering service.
What kind of food did they have?
Well, the thing is, it was a strictly Southern food, and a lot of people had it hard to get used to it.
Uh-huh.
Like, I didn't know what grits was. I love them.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought you put cream on them like cream of wheat. Like,
yeah.
In the North,
right,
you know?
Right.
I got caught in a lot of traps like that.
Yeah.
And they gave me a bowl of grits, and I put sugar on them and asked for some cream, like cream of wheat.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We learned a lot, though.
I guess collard greens and things like that.
Oh, they loved them. We loved them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they brought in Southern vegetables and ham and things like
that's
that?
That's right. That's the type of food we had, strictly all Southern.
So you ate high on the hog in the plant.
We certainly did. I think I put on about 20 pounds.
Did you? do you have any recollection anymore about how much it had cost to buy a lunch like that back then?
Oh, maybe a dollar.
Did it cost that much?
Yeah, we'd go to this hot dog stand. Usually ended up at the hot dog stand at Varsity in Atlanta.
Uh-huh.
They had Flossie and Mary. They jump on your bumper and put on a big show.
Now, wait a minute. I didn't understand about the bumper.
Flossie and Gray. And I think they call them Flossie.
Flossie?
At the Varsity theater, yeah. Driving. It was a big drive-in at the time.
Uh-huh.
That and a yellow jacket.
Yeah.
And they had a man who would jump on the back.
Uh-huh.
Put on and recite the menu. It was darling.
Oh. Yeah.
It was really cute. He had the whole work. Never missed a word.
Uh-huh.
I think he's still alive. Flossie May, they call him.
Flossie?
May.
May. Uh-huh.
He's a colored man.
Yeah, okay. And so he jumps on your car and gives you the menu.
Yeah, to show the way to park and give you the menu.
I see. Okay. Flossie May.
Flossie May, that was his name.
All right. Well, what did... you know, the Bell Aircraft plant hired mainly Southerners to work in the plant. How did those of you who came from Buffalo get along with the people who were from Marietta?
We got along great. We had a little problem with instruction,
mm-hmm.
but like I say, the people, once you show them how to do something, they do it. Do
uh-huh.
it right, which is important in aircraft.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we lost many airplanes because of poor workmanship.
Mm-hmm. Because people down here had never built anything like an airplane before.
Well, it was all strange. A lot of people didn't even realize what a drill was, or a drill motor, or
really?
A rivet gun. They'd never seen rivet guns.
No, I wouldn't think a rivet gun would be pretty...
It was all strange to them.
Pretty specialized as far as they were concerned.
And they weren't well-read as far as that's concerned. They had no reason to find out.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of people who came off the farms really couldn't read and write very well?
They had it very rough. We
mm-hmm.
did our best to show them. We had several schools going
mm-hmm.
to teach them how to read and write.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Which they learned. All they wanted to do was a chance to learn.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to learn.
These schools that you're talking about, were they in the plant?
They were in the plant, yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we had to have cashiers and people to sign their name. They would usually sign their name and put an X on it, and the people would cash. The
uh-huh.
cashiers would get paid in cash.
Right.
And I think they started around 30, 35 cents an hour, which
mm-hmm.
was a lot of money at that time
mm-hmm.
for people down here.
Mm-hmm. The cashiers paid them in cash?
The cashiers paid them in cash.
Because of what?
Well, most of them didn't have bank accounts. They'd have trouble cashing the checks.
I see.
The common businessman would not take a check. I mean,
uh-huh.
let's put it like that.
Right.
They were not used to checks.
Uh-huh.
Everybody dealt with cash down
mm-hmm.
here at the time.
Mm-hmm. So they actually got their, I mean, they didn't get a paid check, they got a pay envelope with
that's
cash.
That's right,
in
that's
it.
Exactly right.
Uh-huh. Would you say most of them were illiterate that were coming to work in the plant, or?
Yes, I felt sorry for them. Like
mm-hmm.
I say, it wasn't their fault. They didn't have no background, they had no schooling to speak of.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them had been maybe second or third grade.
Mm-hmm.
Biggest part couldn't even sign their name.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we had to put an X on them.
Mm-hmm.
When we gave them a check. They got a check.
Mm-hmm.
But they cashed a check with a cashier. They never very seldom took it out of the plant, to my
right.
knowledge.
I
just cashed a check as soon as with the
mm-hmm.
cashier.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
I think government wanted checks.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Knowing
the government like I do.
Mm-hmm. Well, so when you were teaching them how to do the jobs, you basically had to tell them how instead of giving them an instruction manual, I suppose.
We did. We had to show them how to use drills, how to use rivet guns,
mm-hmm.
and how to lay out. They were very hard for them to lay out patterns, rivet patterns and stuff like
mm-hmm.
that. because we went and followed them to adventures.
Mm-hmm.
In some cases, and it had to be exactly.
Right.
And most of the stuff was done by the men from Bell Aircraft to begin mm-hmm. with, to start with. And mm-hmm. we taught them eventually to learn how to program and all of it. But at the mm-hmm. time, we'd have to take and show them. And once you showed them, mm-hmm. maybe, if they, the nice thing about it, if they didn't know, didn't get it the first time, they'd always come back and ask you.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't scrap very much stuff at all through the mistakes.
I see.
Because they were not afraid to ask you.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't want us to think they were dumb. It's just that they didn't have the knowledge in their background.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the South just wasn't heavily industrialized.
No, there were no business at all.
Mm-hmm.
All you had in Atlanta was maybe Sears and
mm-hmm.
Rich's and a couple other department stores.
Mm-hmm.
Atlanta was just like Mary is today. It was a small town.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Small
mm-hmm.
town compared to
mm-hmm.
today.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's really a remarkable story that... that the plant could be as successful as it was, because I don't believe any of the planes crashed in testing or delivery to
the Army. Never heard of the first
the
one. Till they got in service, I never heard of the first one being lost.
Mm-hmm.
But like I say, it's amazing how well, how fast, and most of the plant was built by the local people.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest part of the plant, they learned very fast. They put up the walls, which is all was future at that time. Unknown of the construction we had in the plant was unknown of
mm-hmm.
because of the girders and stress and the different things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the people grasped real quick.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You were telling me a little bit earlier about the TAM cards. Would you tell me that story again?
Well, it's hard to believe, but we initiated a TAM card like they did in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And they're supposed to punch in every day the time to get there and the time to go home that day.
Mm-hmm.
And some people would take the card and punch in on a Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And keep it in their toolbox till Friday, and then punch out.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a lot of confusion because they're supposed to press the card and punch it every day.
Mm-hmm.
It was an hourly day.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just one of them things.
I guess that's the kind of mistake you only make once, and then...
That's right. We finally got to tell them to punch it every day.
Yeah.
And once you told them, they done it.
Mm-hmm. 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 Was there any resentment, do you think, in the...
There was a lot of resentment at first.
Mm-hmm.
We overcame it because here we are, a bunch of Yankees, as they called us,
mm-hmm.
come down here and telling them what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we were careful what we told them what to do. We didn't tell them in a nasty way. We told them in a friendly way. In fact, we told them we were showing them what to do.
Mm-hmm.
We had to get that over that we weren't telling them what to do because they would not take orders. They didn't like... being ordered by a Yankee.
Mm-hmm.
But we show them what to do and how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end, everybody was grateful. They were all grateful.
Mm-hmm.
And they're glad of the money they're making.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of places couldn't afford it. Well, people work for $10-$15 a week.
Right.
6 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
And there for a while, all the big people in Atlanta, they were giving us a lot of static because we were hiring them. So
mm-hmm.
much more money. It was big money to the people.
Mm-hmm.
And we were glad for it. And
mm-hmm.
they were glad to get it.
Mm-hmm.
They were very loyal.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest part of our help was ladies.
Uh-huh.
And young girls.
Right.
It was remarkable what they done. Remarkable
mm-hmm.
what the people learned because they had never heard of a rivet gun,
mm-hmm.
a dual motor, electric miller,
mm-hmm.
or a milling machine,
mm-hmm.
lathe. It's all strange stuff to them. But
right.
they grasped it and learned it very quickly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like I say, if you showed them once and they didn't get it, they weren't ashamed to ask us a second time,
mm-hmm.
which meant everything.
Right.
Because every piece of material meant a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Rivets, because we weighed our rivets. We had to keep that. It was hard to get material at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the stuff, like engines, we had 29s sitting there on the floor. We had no engines for them. Ellison would not furnish the engines.
Mm-hmm.
They used them in the P-40.
Mm-hmm.
The big, these Boeing 29s, and
mm-hmm.
there's a big demand for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen, well, maybe 8 or 10 airplanes just waiting for engines alone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it took a month after we got the engines to prefab them,
right.
run them up and check them out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's a wonderful day what people have done. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to believe because, like I say, I was fortunate. I got a good education,
mm-hmm.
compulsory in the North at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it should be compulsory. Maybe it is now, this time, but
it should be
compulsory.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody should be able to read or write. And like mm-hmm. I say, no disrespect to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
If people couldn't even read, couldn't write,
mm-hmm.
and their signature was usually an X.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I've seen a lot. I'm an old man. I've seen a lot. It's been a wonderful education.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't realize in the North, we didn't at the time realize what the people had in the South.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was a wonderful experience.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you, did Larry Bell come down very much to Marietta? Or did
he'd be here, maybe once a month.
Uh-huh.
He always stayed at the Biltmore.
Uh-huh.
And quite frequently, and along towards the last minute, he got preoccupied with too much other stuff. We'd go down maybe once a month and have dinner with him or something
really?
Like that.
Mm-hmm.
He never forgot us,
uh-huh.
to my knowledge.
So you're talking about all the people that once worked in Buffalo,
that's
he would
right.
invite them to come to
invite
have
him,
dinner with them?
Invite them. And
mm-hmm.
There's only a few of us. There wasn't too many people came
mm-hmm.
down.
Mm-hmm.
But it made us feel proud,
mm-hmm.
because when he would go through the plant, he'd always come up,
mm-hmm.
usually call us by our first name, say,
mm-hmm.
hello, Dick.
Yeah.
Hello, Larry.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Gerald.
Yeah.
And he seemed to make it a point, and that built respect for the other people, because we knew the big wheel.
Mm-hmm.
We knew the man.
Right, right. Did you ever get to know any of the people like Jimmy Carmichael?
Jimmy Carmichael worked for me after Bell Aircraft closed.
He worked for you?
He worked for me.
Oh, explain that. Tell me about that.
Yeah, well, the funny thing, I knew Jimmy Carmichael in Buffalo.
Did you really?
Yes, I knew him very well.
Uh-huh.
In fact, we stayed together at the Alice Hotel in Wichita when we stayed out there.
Oh,
yeah.
He went to Wichita too?
Oh, Jimmy Carmichael was a big wheel when we came down there. He
yeah.
started the whole works, Jimmy Carmichael.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Well, not Jimmy, I mean, Jimmy Carmichael. Oh, no, I thought you met Bill Carrington.
Oh, no, no, no.
No, I knew Bill Carrington. No, I knew Jimmy Carmichael. I met him
uh-huh.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I flew, when he ran for governor, I flew circlers
yeah.
out of my airplane. I had a private airplane.
Uh-huh.
And we flew circlers. Me and Frankie Dosser flew circlers out of an airplane. We bought a little town
yeah.
and flew both through Jimmy Carmichael.
Okay, it flew circulars? Is that
yeah,
what you dropped circulars?
Dropped circlers over the little towns.
I see.
Yeah, I never knew Jimmy Carmichael very much personally. I met him once
uh-huh.
or twice, but no, I thought you met Bill Carrington.
Okay, now tell me, Bill Carrington?
He was the president. He was a big shot.
Uh-huh.
He says he started his whole works down here.
Okay.
He's a factory manager or something. I forgot, but him
uh-huh.
Bill and I, no, I didn't know Jimmy Carmichael.
Okay.
I misunderstood you.
Okay, well, I'm sorry. I wasn't very clear. Bill, is it Carrington?
Bill Carrington, that's
uh-huh.
right.
And so he was like factory manager?
He was a factory
in
manager.
In Marietta? And he went to Wichita?
He went to Wichita with
uh-huh.
us, yes.
Uh-huh. Well, tell me about him, because I don't know anything about him.
Oh, he was an inspector. Funny thing, he came up fast. He's a very brilliant man.
Mm-hmm.
And when we came south, we didn't know Bill Carrington was lining the crew up. He picked a lot of the men that came down here because he was on the line working at Buffalo, New York.
I see. Uh-huh.
And he knew different operations that
right.
we'd done in Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
And like George White, he had charge of engineering. They all turned
mm-hmm.
out to be big wheels. And Bill Carrington
mm-hmm.
was a wonderful guy.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, he worked for Lockheed after they closed. I went to work for Lockheed. That's with 15 years with Lockheed.
Mm-hmm.
But they got a lot of our old Bell employees
mm-hmm.
with Lockheed when it opened up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But Bill, he set up the whole works.
Mm-hmm. You know, I did not know until I did an interview recently that Larry Bell was very disappointed when he did not get the plant back in the Korean War, when it went to Lockheed instead of Bell.
Well, we all were. We all were. At times, Jimmy Carmichael swore we'd never close a plant.
Uh-huh.
But that's politics. Some big shot in Washington, Larry Bell had plans on
mm-hmm.
continuing it. See,
mm-hmm.
he didn't want to give it up.
Mm-hmm.
But they closed when 24-hour notice, they tell us one day they'll never close.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we went the next day and all had our slips.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's politics.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Carmichael's family ran a little grocery store
mm-hmm.
on Atlanta Road. I've been in their place, but I never, outside of meeting Jimmy Carmichael once or twice, I never
mm-hmm.
knew him personally.
Right.
Like I stated, I'm sorry about that.
Mm-hmm.
I had him misunderstood.
Yeah, that's fair. Well, tell me about the closing of the plant. That must have been...
It was terrible. It was terrible. I seen thousands and millions of dollars worth of tools sold for
yeah.
nothing. For
right.
nothing.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Was this right after Hiroshima? Right after they dropped the A-bombs and Japan surrendered?
It was right after. To my knowledge, it was right after they dropped the A-bomb.
Uh-huh. And so just overnight, you found out you were out of a job.
Yeah, that's exactly right. They told us one day we'd be there. Not to make arrangements to leave.
Right.
And very few went back to Buffalo. Most of the people stayed down here. Mm-hmm. They loved it down here.
Of those that were originally in Buffalo?
Yeah, the original gang, very few went back, about six or eight.
Why do you think that was so? What was it down here that held them here?
Well, it was a new world for us. Mm-hmm. A new world for us, completely. Yeah. Because in the North at that time, everybody was after the money they could get off you, take you to cleaners, as you say. And it was dog-eat-dog up there.
And so so you liked the fact that people were not so cold?
Oh, they were wonderful. Mm-hmm. They were wonderful. They took us into their heart. Like it may sound foolish, but many times I'd be invited to somebody's house for dinner. Mm-hmm. But like I say, we weren't used to the way they eating.
Mm-hmm.
It always was chicken. It was always delicious chicken.
Uh-huh.
But
fried
they asked chicken? Us out to try to make points. I don't know whether it's just because they liked us. But in fact, they had a lot of places, a lot of farmhouses turned into restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
We ate a lot of barbecue places, things like that.
Oh, I see. So you're talking about during the war itself that farmhouses turned into restaurants?
Yes. During the war and after. It was hard to get a place. We didn't have a lot of restaurants like they do today.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was very, very hard to get a decent place. We used to eat the Stonewall Cafe.
Stonewall?
Marietta. Mm-hmm. And the police department was right side of it, the Stonewall, and all the police would come in.
No, ma'am, I missed the name. It's
Stonewall.
Stonewall.
Edgar
and it's right next to the police department.
At that time, yeah.
Okay, now, was the police department right on the square?
They was in on the square in the part of the old City Hall.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay, City Hall, so a block or two out Atlanta Street, where the
City
Hall
corner,
was.
Right on the corner of Atlanta and Roswell.
Okay.
They tore it down, they rebuilt it. It was a beautiful place, it had a big clock. And
you don't mean City Hall, you mean the old courthouse.
Courthouse, yes, sir.
Okay, and so right next to the courthouse is...
Police Department.
Is the police department.
Inside of that was...
Stonewall.
Stonewall Cafe.
Cafe. Okay.
Inside of that was Goldstein's. He's a big shot. He's a big shot now.
Yeah.
He practically owes all Marietta. But at that time, his daddy was a little man like the rest of us. It's very interesting because I've seen Marietta grow up.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I think we had something like 1,800 people in Marietta at the time I came in Marietta.
It was small.
It was very small.
Yeah, it's a little bit more than that, but it wasn't much.
They seen the horse and wagons. They had a policeman go around with a little dump cart. Picking up after the horses.
Oh, my goodness.
Horses and wagons.
Yeah.
See, Model T Fords were galore. They were Model T, more Model Ts.
Yeah.
Some of them had a license plate sound old enough to vote. They didn't get it.
Didn't change their license plate?
They didn't change their license plate. I don't even know if they had driver's license back then.
Yeah. Now, these wagons, these are farmers coming in?
They were farmers coming in.
And what, they just hitch them up around the square?
Yeah, we had a little produce market here at the square. Yeah. It was really nice.
Now that was over. Was that on the north side of the square?
That was on the northwest side.
Northwest side. Okay. So right out in front of where Shelling's is nowadays.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Uh-huh. They had produce and you get anything, vegetables and corn and stuff like that. Were delicious. It was fresh.
Right. Now, did your wife eventually move down here?
Well, Bell Aircraft furnished us with places. We had to pay rent, of course.
Uh-huh.
But they got me a brand new place on Page Street.
Okay.
503 Page Street. It was a brand new house. They shipped us down.
Uh-huh.
And we lived there, I guess, for both of until I built the trailer park.
Uh-huh. 503 Page Street. Let's see. Now, that's what would be the North Marietta Parkway today?
It's close to it. It's close to North Marietta Parkway.
Yeah. I was trying to think that, I guess all those houses are gone now, or is
No, they're still there. I go by them
occasionally. 503,
where
you lived is still there?
Still there.
Okay. Oh, okay. So this would be west of Fairground, going Page Street.
It ends at Fairground.
Yeah, okay.
It's by the power plant there.
Yeah.
You got in the back, there's a power, the towers and things like that.
Yeah. Well, that area really... Really, a lot of houses were built during World War II.
Oh, they built a bunch of them. They built a lot of them. Uh-huh. Bell had connections with them to get us places to stay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Most of them have been replaced now, but it gets a beautiful hometown I know. But at the time, these were nice.
Right. Is this like a four-room house? Or?
That's what it was, a little tiny.
Yeah.
Nothing like they built today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, at least there was a house.
Yeah, but a brand new house, and boy, we were proud.
Uh-huh.
We were proud.
Yeah.
Because in the North, we took what we could get.
Uh-huh. So your three children, and your wife and your three children, When they went to the local schools, after going to school in Buffalo, I guess they were still in school at this time, weren't they?
No, they were young.
They were too young for school?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
2 5.
I was just going to ask about what it was like to transfer from schools in Buffalo to schools in Marietta, but I guess your children started the school in Marietta.
They all started the school.
I see. Okay. Well, what did you think about Marietta schools when they were going to school? Did you feel like that time
I could tell you stories that isn't nice to tell, but it's funny in some ways. They took boys, people.
Uh-huh.
We had a little president, about 12 years old, and he gave the public address, graduation address or something.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, on the stage, he wet his pants.
Oh.
It's funny as a devil, but he was scared to death. Uh-huh. People weren't used to addressing people like they do today.
Mm-hmm.
But he had the mess and the principal,
uh-huh.
Mr. Gillespie, I think it was. No, it wasn't Gillespie. Mr. Osborne. He's well known.
Yeah.
He came out with a mop and mopped it up just like nothing happened.
Yeah.
I'll never forget that as long as I live because it was just funny at the time. It isn't nice to say that, but the little boy was scared to death.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, which school did your children go to?
Osborne. Yes, sir.
Okay.
It's all been...
This is after you were living in Fair Oaks?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay.
When the war ended, I moved to Fair Oaks immediately.
Immediately. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I wanted to ask you about that, you know, there's something that I don't really understand, and that is that, you know, Bell had over 28,000 workers here at the peak of production, and then you all got laid off almost at the same time.
That's right.
And yet, it doesn't seem like there was any great problem of unemployment around here.
Oh, there wasn't. There wasn't. It seemed like everybody had money.
Mm-hmm.
I won the trailer business when I got that trailer park.
Uh-huh.
I won the trailer business, and money, it was, I don't know if the boy getting out of service or what, but money, everybody had money. Everybody had money.
So there's no real unemployment problem.
No, there was no unemployment.
Well, that's what I don't understand. It looks to me like when you lay off all those workers that there should have been massive unemployment around here.
Well, so many people, there was a lot of little industries started. I see prefabricated homes.
Mm-hmm.
They hired maybe 100 people.
Yeah.
There was a lot of little business starting up.
Mm-hmm.
They refurnishing furniture, antique shops. There were a dozen of them.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of antiques to be bought down here at the time. People in the north realized what it is. Down here, they didn't realize what it was.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so many little industries. I don't think there's anybody went hungry. I really don't. If you want a job, it's plentiful.
Mm-hmm.
And they were putting in lines and building highways. It, starting improvement back then, the minute the war ended, they let money loose for improvements.
We said putting in lines, like
electrical lines and that sort of thing.
So if you had an electrical background, you could go to work for Georgia Power? Or
and they learned that. They learned that, a lot of that at Bell Aircraft.
Mm-hmm.
But they learned to read and write, which there were a lot of books on anything. You could pick out any industry you wanted to and get a book on it. It was on the people, up to people, but I don't know of anybody going hungry.
Right.
There were plenty of jobs.
Well, that's a remarkable story in itself when you consider this generation coming through the Great Depression and then after World War II.
Like I said, when I came down here, I've seen people from Buffalo. The mayor had a hotel they call the Hotel de Gink, and they take bums in there, anybody that didn't have a place. I've seen people laying on the sidewalk outside starving to death, diving. Now this is the God's honest truth.
Uh-huh.
It's on Main Street. And when we come down here, it seemed like a different world.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, they were all farming. Everybody was farming.
Mm-hmm.
But they all had plenty to eat and used to working hard.
Mm-hmm.
The people in the north didn't like to work too hard. You know that. Didn't like to work hard, no. I remember.
So you're saying the Depression was worse in the North than in
much
the
worse,
South?
Much worse, much worse. I don't know of anybody, to my knowledge, that actually went hungry down there. There were people that went hungry, don't misunderstand me, but I've never seen the type of hunger I've seen in the North.
Because they had farms?
They had farms.
Now, you said a Hotel de Gink?
Hotel de Gink, that was the name of it.
D-D-K-I-N-K,
Hotel de Gink.
De Gink.
It run by the mayor.
Yeah.
Mayor Schwab. Schwab was the mayor.
Schwab?
Mayor Schwab. He owned a brewery.
Like S-W-A-B-B?
Yeah, and he owned a brewery.
The brewery's
still there.
Uh-huh.
But it's not for operation.
Mm-hmm.
But I lived right near it at one time. I lived.
Mm-hmm.
But like I say, there was no depression to my knowledge. There might have been, but but everybody seemed to want to work.
Uh-huh. Well, did people go back to the farms after Bell, or did they stay in the city?
Well, a lot of them stayed in the city. A lot of them had bought homes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They got homes they wouldn't have had if it hadn't been for Bell Aircraft.
Right.
They had a lot
mm-hmm.
of homes.
Mm-hmm.
You could buy a home for maybe 4 or 5% interest. It was
right.
cheap.
Mm-hmm.
The interest, and back
yeah.
then,
mm-hmm.
word of mouth was as good as
right.
signing a piece of paper. You shake
right.
hands on a deal,
mm-hmm.
it's like money in the bank. If
mm-hmm.
I let you take $10,
mm-hmm.
if you couldn't pay me, you'd come back the next week and say, well, I'll pay you next week.
Mm-hmm.
You weren't out to get people like
yeah.
you were today.
Right. Hmm. When you were living over on Page Street, where did you buy your groceries?
Well, they didn't have big stores. Well, there's a little store down the corner that
mm-hmm.
bought, but they didn't have big stores like that. I think the A&P was the biggest store around here.
Mm. Now, where was the A&P?
I believe it was on the square. I
on
could
the square
be wrong.
At that time. Mm-hmm. And so they're not really supermarkets. They're just neighborhood grocery stores.
Just grocery stores.
Mm. And you were mentioning restaurants not having very many, other than the one on the square, which was a cafe. I guess most people just ate at home, didn't they?
The biggest part of people ate at home.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, the prices went up so much, people weren't used to paying that price.
Uh-huh.
Maybe dime for a cup of coffee.
Right.
You used to get a cup mm-hmm. of coffee for a nickel.
Right.
So the biggest part of people stayed at home or
mm-hmm.
shared.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But they bring mm-hmm. produce in there. Some farmers,
mm-hmm.
they give me a lot of stuff from the farm, you know.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them stayed on their farms.
Yeah.
We had people living in Chattanooga that come
mm-hmm.
to work.
Uh-huh.
Lockheed.
Right.
Drive all the way down
there
every
way.
Day. Every day.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But that was big money to them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I guess so. Well, tell me about your trailer park in Fair Oaks. You opened that up right after the war? Or?
Before the war ended.
Uh-huh.
But it was on the verge of being, let's say it was in 40... When did the war end?
August of 45. Was
yeah,
when
well,
the
this
war.
Isn't actually in 46.
In 46, the year
yeah,
after the war.
Year after the war.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I made a... Everybody was buying trailers. I made quite a lot of money
mm-hmm.
buying and selling. You had a full 30% commission. You bought a trailer for $2,000 and sold for $3,000.
Mm-hmm.
And I got very wealthy. At the time, it all got away from me.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
at the time, I was very happy.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd sell a trailer and a place to park it, so they park it right there. And I built a park. I put all that in by hand.
Uh-huh.
But we had no permits. You didn't have to get a permit for anything. All
uh-huh.
the wiring I put in,
mm-hmm.
today it's entirely different. You,
oh, yeah.
you have to everything you have to be approved. I've done
mm-hmm.
the sewer line. I'm not proud of it. We had no sewer.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen Marietta grow. I've seen the whole county grow.
Mm-hmm.
Like this place here, when I bought this, it wasn't anything. There were houses all around me,
mm-hmm.
thousands of them.
Mm-hmm. How long have you had this house out here on Kenway Road?
17 years. I ran the park for 50 years, but that just got too much for me.
Uh-huh.
But I have had 150 trailers in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then my rent was $3 a week with
wow.
the 3-amp fuse. With the 3-amp fuse,
uh-huh.
we didn't have meters back then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And a 3-amp for an extra 50 cents a week, $3 a week.
Mm-hmm.
Extra 50 cents, you get a 10-amp fuse.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And maybe for 15 cents, you get a 15-amp fuse.
Yeah. Yeah.
We had no commodes.
Uh-huh.
Everybody used a public bathhouse.
I see.